The Yesterday and Today podcast is a fan-made, not-for-profit, just-for-fun compilation of chronological source materials as they pertain to the Beatles. The show is in no way affiliated with AppleCorps, nor any organization connected to John, Paul, George, or Ringo in any way, though we do consider ourselves premier members of the Bungalow Bill fan club. So kick back, turn off your mind, relax, and download the stream. We hope you will enjoy the show.
Yesterday and Today. The year is 1988. Episode 3. Listen to what these men say. This episode covers the month of March.
You have to face the truth, I'm afraid.
Long Tall Sally, 1964. Could you describe the young George Harrison?
Young, naive, and enthusiastic, but I didn't really question anything else. I was just into being in a rock and roll band and going wherever we were going.
Were you mostly a Beatle in those days?
Completely, yeah. Every moment of every day was Beatle, Beatle, Beatle.
Sort of group soul?
Just as a group, as, our career, everything. It was just all the attention, the media, it was all Beatles. Until the Beatles just drove us crazy.
So when did George Harrison sort of break through as an identity?
1966. Well, I mean, he was always in there. George Harrison, whoever the real one is, was always there, really. But 1966 was when I sort of woke up out of my dream.
What made you wake up?
Well, a number of things. The experiences that we were having. And one experience, which I don't really like to talk about too much, but somebody put something in my coffee.
Way back in time, someone said try some. I tried some, now buy some. I bought some. After a while, when I tried them, denied them, I opened my eyes and I saw you.
Harrison continues to promote his album Cloud Nine and its singles by giving interviews in Amsterdam.
As far as I know, this is your first time on Norwegian TV.
I think so, that's right.
Welcome. Yes.
Thank you. Hello, Norway.
You've been quite busy doing interviews of this sort lately.
Yeah, I've done a few, yes. Mm.
And it's all got to do with your sort of comeback into music last year with the album and everything.
That's right.
Do you feel like a person with a comeback?
Not well, it is with the music is I suppose I'm come back because people are listening to the record, but I've never really been anywhere. I've still been here, you know. Mm. It's the first record I made for 5 years, so it's okay to call it a comeback, I suppose.
George then traveled to Italy on February 26th, attending the San Remo Music Festival, where he was honored with the Video of the Year Award for When We Was Fab.
The video fades away, but George Harrison is here. But George Harrison è qui. Quanti anni sono dal tuo ultimo album? How many years since your last album?
I think it was about 1981, about 5 years.
A little bit more than that. 81, it's almost 7 years. Quasi 7 anni dal suo ultimo album, e deve far particolarmente piacere scoprire che dopo 7 anni uno può ancora arrivare al numero uno. And it must feel nice after 7 years to go number one.
It's very nice.
It is.
Thank you.
When the Beatles ended, you were the first one to make a solo album, All Things Must Pass. Then you talk about tearing away the Maya from the world and looking for truth. You still feel that that is an important part of your life?
Yeah, I think it's very important. Doesn't matter what happens in your life. As far as success goes, unless you can find out who you are yourself and be happy with yourself, then nothing else is of any importance, really.
A great sense of humor, like all English people, un grande senso of humor. You seem to look back at the Beatles, sempre riguardare i Beatles con più umorismo, con più leggerezza di alcuni dei tuoi compagni. You seem to look back at the Beatles with more lightness, with more humor than some of the other Beatles.
Well, I think we all went through a bad period of when the Beatles split up, we had our troubles, but there's been so long now after that that I just remember the funny things and the good things. There was a lot of good things that happened.
But you don't remember songs from Sgt. Pepper's. I've been told by a friend of mine that in the interview you were talking about this thing that McCartney was playing, She's Leaving Home, and you said, where is this track from? But George, it's from Sgt. Pepper's.
Well, sometimes you forget, they all blend in, you know, from one record to the next.
Well, we wish you peace.
Thank you.
Ti auguriamo pace per tutto il resto della tua vita. È stato un piacere avere qui George Harrison, direi un onore più che un piacere. Thank you very, very much for being here. Bene, allora, questo primo collegamento dal Baroque si è aperto.
The next day, February 27th, Paul and Linda McCartney arrive at the San Remo Music Festival. They are there to promote and perform a couple of songs from Paul's latest LP, All the Best.
Welcome him, dargli il benvenuto con un grandissimo applauso enorme a Paul McCartney! Welcome, Paul.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's brilliant. Wonderful. We got a plan?
Great. Ciao. Ciao, bella. Sanremo, Italia.
Okay, guys.
McCartney brings with him a new band lineup consisting of Amos Stewart on guitar and bass, Chris Winton on drums, Gary Barnacle on saxophone, Andrew Chatter on violin, with Linda McCartney on keyboards, and Paul on bass and guitar.
What are those tunes gotta do with me? Tell me, darling, where have you been? Once upon a long ago, children searched for treasure. Nature's plan went hand in hand with pleasure, such pleasure. Say, tell me, darling, what have you seen? Once upon a long ago, children searched for treasure. Nature's plan went hand in hand with pleasure, my pleasure. On an empty stage, counting the bars of an iron cage. Tell me, darling, what can it mean? Picking up scales and broken chords, puppy dog tails in the house of lords. Help me, darling, what does it mean?
Grazie moltissime per essere venuto qua, perché so che in questo momento tu stai facendo
una registrazione in uno studio. I'm talking Italian, then I would
speak English.
I do, yes, as well. And hai fatto un grossissimo sforzo perché sei indaffaratissimo in questo momento. I said that thank you very much for coming because I know that you're in a studio now and you're doing a project, you're working on a project. Could you tell us about the project now?
Yeah, I'm just making some new records, making some new songs. Nuovo canzones?
Nuovo canzones?
Something like that, yeah.
Sta facendo, non ho bisogno di traduzione, Paul ha detto tutto. You're working with Elvis Costello.
This is correct. I am working with Elvis Costello in the studio, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. How is he in the studio?
Terrible. Terrible, very nasty man. I don't wish to speak to him again. Good evening.
Dice che sta lavorando con Elvis Costello in questo momento nello studio. Le ho detto perché non l'ha portato. Un grandissimo musicista anche Elvis Costello. Dice che è tremendo, terribile. E spera di non salutarlo mai più in vita sua.
Anyway, I'd like to say good luck to the winner of tonight's contest.
That's very nice. Dice che è questo veramente grandissimo applauso perché dice che vuol augurare grande fortuna al vincitore di stasera. Benissimo. And so we want to hear
song?
You sing.
One more song.
One more song.
Okay.
Which is il titolo è Listen to What the Man Said.
Yes, well, luckily we learned it up and we know it, so we can sing it for you now. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay. Vicky Spoma Carne.
Okay.
Anytime, any day, you can hear the people say,
Thank you. Thank you.
Bravo, Paul Jackson. No, anch'io sono una grande ammiratrice di Paul.
Sì.
E mi ero preparata migliori domande. Paul, mi ero preparata Grazie. Davvero tantissime domande. I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah, okay.
I had in mind thousands of things to ask you, but I think that the most important thing to ask is something that everybody wants to know. Mi ero preparata tantissime domande, ma credo che il pubblico e tutti i fans di Paul vogliono sapere la stessa cosa che anch'io adesso gli chiederò. Cioè, ho sentito dire che sta preparando un tour e vorrei sapere se verrà in Europa e se verrà in Italia. I heard that you are preparing a tour for this summer. Will you come to Europe and to Italy too?
Yeah, well, it's not definite yet, but I hope if we do a tour, we certainly come to Italy.
We hope so.
Sure.
Ha detto che se verrà, farà questo tour, verrà sicuramente in Italia.
For you, yes.
Dice che per noi verrà senz'altro. Grazie, Paul.
Okay, we'll see you.
Thank you for everything. Okay. Bye-bye.
Ciao, Italia.
Can I give you a kiss?
Yeah, ciao, Paul.
On Sunday, February 28th, a British newspaper, News of the World, publish an article regarding a feud that supposedly happened between George Harrison and Paul McCartney at the San Remo Music Festival, where the two former Beatles appeared separately.
And it's absolutely not true what they said in the News of the World last Sunday, which somebody, actually, I was in San Remo the day before Paul arrived, and I got a phone call from somebody, the Daily Mail phoned up, and they said, George, you know, I said, no, sorry, George has just left. And I pretended I was somebody else, and they said, well, there's some people down here who are trying to get this rumor started about you and Paul. So I told him, you know, that we weren't, the reason why we weren't there together was because we didn't even know each other was going to be there anyway, and we all there on different days. But it's definitely just one of those things that these people sit around and think, let's have a fight between, you know, George and Paul now, you know. But actually, I love Paul, he's my mate, and it doesn't matter what they say in the papers, it's not gonna, you know, they're not gonna get much mileage out of that one.
It's not true. Oh, oh. It's not true.
Next tonight, Haspel and Company.
On March 3rd, live at the London Television Studios on the South Bank, London, George Harrison and Ringo Starr appear together on the chat show Aspel & Company with host Michael Aspel.
Thank you very much. And now it's my pleasure to offer hospitality to a man who hasn't entirely wasted his life. Singer, songwriter, author, film producer, keen gardener, and master of understatement. He once said, if you're going to be in a rock and roll band, you may as well be in the Beatles. Ladies and gentlemen, George Harrison. George, it's good to see you. You're back in the charts, so you're a happy man.
Ah, I don't know if I'm back. I've been back, but I don't know if I'm back this week. But I am a happy man.
Yeah. Did you feel the time was right to do this?
Yeah. Well, I didn't really think about it. I just felt time to make a record. And so I made it. And, you know, sometimes things go right and sometimes they don't. This time it went right.
You have kept yourself to yourself in recent years. This led to some wild stories about the Howard Hughes of Henley.
That's right, yeah. Well, it's the silly newspapers. I mean, they're not all silly, of course, but some of them are very silly. And because I don't go discotheking and things like that where people hang out with their cameras, so they presumed that I was Howard Hughes, with my big fingernails and Kleenex tissues and that kind of stuff. Bottles of urine all around the house. And, but I wasn't like that at all. I go out all the time, or a lot of the time, see friends, have dinner, go to parties.
Sounds all right.
I'm even more normal than, you know, normal people.
I mentioned gardening. You haven't yet, but to stroll from one end of yours would take about 3 weeks, wouldn't it? How big is
it
actually?
Not really, no. My garden, you can stroll around it in 10 minutes if you're power walking, which is what I sort of do these days.
So what have you got?
If you saunter, it could take half an hour. If you swagger, maybe 45 minutes.
You've got legs as well, haven't you?
Legs, yeah. I've got legs and arms and...
This is why a southern accent. You've got lakes.
Lakes, well, yeah. There's a bit of water, yeah. There's a sort of flows around that was built in the Victorian days. It's very nice. It was all covered in soil and broken lavatories from a building site when I bought it.
Howard Hughes did have it then, obviously. Yeah. What about your son, who is now 9, I think? Is he aware of your glorious past?
He's become aware now of the last few years, and... I didn't really tell him anything about the Beatles because it was so long ago anyway. I didn't want to burden him with all that. But nevertheless, I think most kids, when they get to about 4 or 5, they see Yellow Submarine. And then he sort of twigged. And then he came up to me one day and said, "Hey, Dad, how do you play the piano lick from Hey, Bulldog?" Which I thought, well, that's strange. How does he know a song like that? But it's in Yellow Submarine.
And was he impressed?
No.
Amazingly, 25 years since Beatlemania swept the world. When did you first realize it was happening to you?
The mania side of it happened, it started happening in, I think, 1963, when we started touring seriously in England, like on the big Moss Empire circuit. And then we did some tours around Europe, and I think it was because of the mania that was happening then that the Americans caught on and came over, and they did features on us in Time and Life and Newsweek. So then that sort of set us up for the trip to the USA in 1964.
And when did the excitement wear off?
Well, it sort of wears off and it comes back again, like, just recently I feel quite excited to be alive, regardless of whether I'm making a record or promoting my record by my album now, right? You know, quite apart from that. But I think for me, the mania got to me in 1966, and around that time I got a bit tired of what they call the adulation. I'm still not that keen on that side of it. It's nice to be popular, it's nice to be loved, but it's not so nice to be chased around and on the front page of the paper every day of your life with, you know, people climbing over the wall all day long.
Your current single harks back to those early days. Are you feeling, apart from being glad to be alive, you're
nostalgic?
Not
really, no. I do like, most people, I like the rock and roll years when you see what happened when Cuba attacked Russia and all that, whatever happened, and you remember that Eddie Cochran was singing this tune. I like nostalgia in that respect, and I suppose all that 20 years ago today stuff that was happening last year, you know, it's nice to be reminded of things that happened, except it reminds you how old you are, which is not so good.
Well, that was made with a little help from your friends, of course, including the one, the only, Ringo Starr.
I've met you before.
Good evening.
Yeah, I thought you were dead.
How you doing, Michael?
A sharp suit, Ringo.
I hate gardening.
That's question number 19.
I love him, but
gone.
I hate gardening.
Right. You've been doing your own thing as well, of course, but you enjoy a bit of the old nostalgia, don't you?
Oh, I love nostalgia. I think I was nostalgic at birth.
That's why you got born again.
Just when I started yours.
Oh, sorry.
You lived in each other's pockets, didn't you? I mean, it was like being a family.
Oh, he's always lived in one.
You had family rows. I mean, what were the
main... Yeah, we do. We have terrible rows.
What was the main cause of your squabbles in the early days?
Oh, I don't remember.
I'll leave that one up to you, George.
I don't remember any squabbles.
You don't remember anything, do you?
No. Instant amnesia.
What about now? What makes you cross with each other now?
Well, the last time we were cross was when George was suing me. See, what's nice, though, he calls me up...
Paul was cross.
Yeah, he's still cross. The last time he calls me and say, I'm going to sue you. So, not George, don't be so dumb. No, I'm going to sue you. I don't like what you've done, because he wrote this song. Mixed by somebody else. And he didn't like the mix, so he was going to sue me. So in the end, I said, sue me if you want, but I'll always love you.
Speaking of which, let me set the record straight there about...
This is George.
He's a drummer. He's a drummer.
He's a drummer. It happens all the time. Am I making a noise on the mic? I tap all the time to my heartbeat.
That's, oh. Well, it's getting slower. I better tell you.
No, I can't wait for the coughing. Boom. I hesitate. Ready, Lord.
I hesitate to ask you a serious question, but, I mean, as we're talking about...
Well, why don't you, Michael?
I will. Set the record straight about today's situation. The press are keen to imply rifts. How do you and Paul get on?
We get on very well.
George?
Yeah, no, we do, actually. We,
fact,
I mean...
We love you. Yeah. Which camera is it, for Christ's sake? It's bobbing around. Edit.
For, yeah, for about 10 years, I didn't really...
10 minutes.
I didn't really know Paul. Yeah. And never really saw much of him through the last 10 or 12 years. But more recently, we've been hanging out and getting to know each other, going for dinner and meeting and having a laugh.
What about Yoko? Oh,
no. Yoko, I'm pleased to say, where are they?
Pleased to say.
Pleased to say that I had a great time with Yoko in New York on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was nice to meet her. Everything's fine.
When I and the rest of us hear Lennon Records, but still, of course, impossible for us to believe that he's gone. It must be, of course, a million times more for you, mustn't it?
Well, you've certainly brought the party down, Michael. It is, you know. I was stunned on the day, and I still...
Shocked and stunned.
Just the other day, just because we're all sitting here, George and I watched this movie that Yoko was making about John. All the little girls and boys playing with their little toys. All they really needed from you is maybe something love. And I just get emotional.
Oh, don't tell me about
that.
No, I get emotional.
Like George
now. I still miss the man. I love the man. I was close to the man. And he went out just in such a stupid way, you know.
How did you hear
the guy's famous now, for God's sake.
Yes, you know, that's the...
What do you think of that?
That's the cruel irony. Yeah, of course, you're quite right.
Stupid.
How did you hear the news yourself?
Well, I heard it. We were in the Bahamas at the time. And my stepdaughter, Francesca, called up, Barbara's daughter, and she said, "Has something on the news about John?" I said, "Well, what is it? Like the shooting and things like that?" "Well, you know, we don't know what it is. You know, I didn't really... I never ever went to, like, Goodnight." And then they called back, and they said, "Yeah, he's actually even blown away." So we sat around and just devastated, actually. I mean, I was just down. And so 5 o'clock in the morning, I ordered a plane and flew to New York just to see if there was anything, you know, you can do, but you can't. But you just, you know, when you get to that position or situation, you know, you just do something. And that's what Barbara and I did, because you couldn't have a holiday after that, you know. Mm. Yeah.
So, and George, how did you hear it?
Yeah, I was in bed at the time in England, and I don't know, the call came through sometime in the morning, 4 or 5 in the morning. I didn't take the call. Olivia took the call and she said, John's been shot. And I thought, oh, how bad is it? You know, I just thought maybe a flesh wound or something like that. But they said, no, that's it, he's dead. So I didn't know. I just went back to sleep, actually. I just, maybe it's just a way of getting away from it. I just went to sleep. And then waited to see, you know, what it said the next morning. And he was still dead the next morning, unfortunately. Oh. But, you know, I feel not so bad about it in as much as, you know, I had this, you know, unlike Ringo, when I went to Rishikesh in India, I went into meditation and I had some good experiences and I got to...
I had some good experiences.
I know you did, and you forgot to tell them.
Well, yeah, but he only asked about the eggs.
So I believe what it says in the scriptures and in the Bhagavad Gita, it says there was never a time when you didn't exist and will never be a time when you cease to exist. The only thing that changes is our bodily condition. Soul comes in the body and we go from birth to death. And it's death, how I look at it, is like taking your suit off. Mm. You know, the soul is in these three bodies and one body falls off. And I feel like that. I can feel him around here.
Oh,
and,
I've seen him twice.
He's
Did
still...
he feel that?
No, I have.
You've seen
him? Oh, yeah, I felt one time very strong that I was in a hotel room in L.A. And I was real down, miserable, whatever was going on. He was in the corner saying, what are you doing? I'm being miserable. So come on, get it together. No, I believe, like George, on that respect, though, we just did the jokey bit about the eggs, that we do continue. And I do believe in God.
Did he? Yeah. What mental state was John in at that time? Do you know?
Well, I'd never seen him for a couple of years before that, but I had enough experience. Well, we all did. During the 60s, we had, you know, there was people putting stuff in our coffee, which gave us some crazy experiences, and... when they stopped doing it, we started putting it in our own coffee for
There's
a bit.
Two girls wondering what you put in your coffee over there.
And, you know, we had a lot of experiences. I know John was, you know, he knew who he was, that he was a soul, happened to be in this body for this period of time. And, you know, I don't think... it's just the method by which you die, you know. I mean, I think it's nicer if you can consciously leave your body at death as opposed to just some lunatic shooting you on the street or... having a plane crash, something like that. I think it's unfortunate the way he went out, but it doesn't really matter. He's okay, and life flows on within you and without you.
How are you doing, Johnny?
Would anything...
What about you, Michael?
Well, I was going to ask, would anything have persuaded you to, all, that is, to reform the Beatles even for one night? And what kind of offers did you get anyway?
Well, I think the only time we phoned each other up... because everyone kept trying to get us together. But somebody phoned up and they offered us just for one gig, and we only used to do 25 minutes. They offered us 50 million.
Dollars, was it?
Lira.
Could have been in anything. 25 quid each. And I do remember, but George never called any, but I remember calling everyone else and them calling me saying, oh, well, what do you think, you know, 25 minutes buying a new suit?
So what stopped you then?
We will never get it together. And I mean, we broke up, you know, for all the reasons we know about. I mean, you know, to get together. I don't really believe in like this getting together thing, really. Now, if we got together, it would be George, Paul and Ringo. If we got together, it would not be the Beatles, you know. We'll never do it with Julian, because it'll be them, be George, Paul, what's my name?
And Julian.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you would never go out there again with that. Well, I won't. I don't know about Georgie.
Hmm.
Would you go out, Georgie, with that name?
No, it wouldn't be the Beatles. But, yeah. But the thing is, it's not to say that, you know, I mean, Ring and I hang out occasionally and play some tunes together.
I'm on the album.
He's on the album, he was on the concert, and Paul does concerts. And as I say, we're getting to be friendlier with Paul. It's a good chance someday maybe we'll write a tune and play together, but it won't be the Beatles. And if people expect us to be the Beatles, they're going to be disappointed. But you may see three old guys called John, Paul and Ringo who someday may sing a song together.
I bet I don't get to sing.
A few days later, on March 7th, Capitol, Apple, and Parlophone Records release worldwide on two CDs and two double vinyl LPs, The Beatles, Past Masters Volume 1 and Past Masters Volume 2. These two album releases contain all of the band's songs that have not been officially issued on CD. These include various singles and B-sides which do not appear on the studio albums or on the Magical Mystery Tour compilation. The albums reached number 49 and number 46, respectively, in the UK charts. In late March, Harrison began work on a track that was conceived while playing cricket one day with friends at Friar Park last year. David English, former RSO Records executive who also managed Eric Clapton, as well as the group The Bee Gees, had asked George while playing cricket if he would like to contribute a song for an animated children's tale that he was working on called The Bunbury Tales. It was about a group of heroic sports-playing rabbits from Bangalore, India.
Bunburys. A Bunbury stands for freedom, stands for fun, stands for ever being young. Do a good turn to others, never turn from your quest, for you are a Bunbury and a Bunbury does his best.
George recorded the track at his Friar Park studios in Henley and features Indian instrumentation. Harrison recorded a sitar introduction played by Ravi Shankar in the Indian classical tradition, although George played all the sitar parts on the song. Harrison sung the choruses with his son Danny, and David English altered his voice to sing the Catman narrative. Sessions lasted for 4 days. On the weekend of March 25th, 26th, and 27th, the New York Metro's 18th official Beatle Fest takes place at the New Jersey Meadowlands Hilton Hotel in Secaucus, New Jersey. Strawberry fields. Nothing is real. I attend the fest on Saturday, March 26th. Strawberry fields forever. The event is hosted by Mark and Carol Lapidus and highlights a superstar guest, Michael McGeer McCartney. Mike is a talented photographer and will have copies of his new book, Mike Max, White and Blacks Plus One Color, to sign. He was also a member of the British group Scaffold, as well as being the older brother to Paul McCartney. Other guests include Marguerite Roberts. Marguerite is a native Liverpudlian calling herself a Beatlette, a fan who used to hang out at the famous Cavern Club. Girls are the bestie, arty, arto, auntie-to. Liverpool girls speak the bestie, do-ti-do-to, don't-ti-to. Cardiff girls have lovely voices, Dublin girls make finest coops. Glasgow girls are good at football, Liverpool girls win out on looks. Another guest is Tim Riley. Tim is the author of a new book titled Tell Me Why, A Beatles Commentary. Tell me why. This book not only dives into the history of the group, but offers insights into their artistic creativity and why their music continues to resonate with audiences worldwide. Beatlefest also welcomes Gordon Millings. Gordon and his father, Doogie, were the tailors who designed the original Beatles suits.
My dad and I were working in Old Compton Street, Soho, making lots of suits for people like Cliff Richard, Marty Wilde, Tommy Steele. We got a phone call from Brian Epstein, who had heard of our fame in Liverpool, wanted to bring down his boys, and that's how it all started. This was November 62. He'd brought in previously, 3 months earlier, Jerry and the Pacemakers, and we had made them a set of suits. He was obviously very happy with the look we gave them. And then the phone call said, I'm bringing along four guys. We're going to be there December, I think, around the 4th. We want a set of suits that was going to be something completely different to what you've ever done before. Certainly nothing like Cliff in the Shadows wears. They came in on that due date. They came out of his old Hillman California car, parked outside in Old Compton Street, came up our rambling staircase to the first floor. And between my father and Paul McCartney, they started sketching, and the idea of the round neck jacket suit came to be.
They made over 500 suits for the Fab Four, including the total wardrobe for both A Hard Day's Night and Help.
I've got here two of the original jackets from Hard Day's Night. We have the black jacket here that John wore in the most famous scene with Dougie Millings, my father, when he was measuring Paul. Paul moved away from camera. John walked forward, cut tape measure.
I now declare this bridge open.
I now declare this bridge open. This was the very, very jacket.
The master of ceremonies is K-Rock radio DJ Jimmy Fink. This will be Jimmy's 14th Beatlefest. Music is once again provided by the band Liverpool, assuring a splendid time is guaranteed for all. As Beatlefest 88 winds down, on March 27th, George, Olivia, and Danny fly out of London's Heathrow Airport en route to Toronto, Canada, for more promotional work for George's album Cloud 9 and its two singles. Upon landing at the Toronto Pearson International Airport, George gives a quick presser.
Paul had asked
you know, had suggested maybe the chance of me and he writing together something. And, I mean, it's pretty funny, really, because, I mean, I've only been there about 30 years in Paul's life, and it's like now he wants to write with me. But I think it's maybe quite interesting.
Following the press conference at the airport, George gave a couple of interviews for Canadian television shows before being whisked away to the City TV studios of the show Much Music with host Christopher Ward.
On a Monday afternoon in March, during a light drizzle, wearing a handsome gray suit under his jacket, George Harrison arrived quietly at the back door of Much Music. Cheerful greetings were exchanged.
Three cameras, wow.
Oh, yeah.
No expense for
that. Engine problems with the plane in London had necessitated an impromptu early morning Concorde flight and a private jet from New York. But your eager host finally was face to face with one of the legends of popular music.
John Martin. Admittedly, it's a surprise, but it's a very great pleasure to welcome George Harrison to Much Music. George, welcome.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here.
It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm sorry we couldn't forewarn our viewers, but...
That's okay.
It's good nonetheless. Cloud Nine, congratulations on the incredible success of it. A number one single, among other things.
Thank you.
It sounds like there's a lot of joy on that record, that you had a really good time making this record.
It was fun, very, very good fun, you know. We just went out there just to make a nice record and be happy making it, and that's how it came out.
Did the time off between Gontrapo and that record, did that change the way that you worked on the record?
Yeah, it certainly helped, because I was a bit tired of making records by about 1981. Thought I'd have a rest, and by the time I felt like I did keep writing, you know, I got a studio home, kept writing those years while I never made an album, but during those years when I felt it was a good time to make a record, but the one thing was to have a producer, because on my previous records I'd worked all alone, I got a bit bogged down, I felt, and I needed a bit of input, you know, so that's when I figured out Jeff Lynne would be good, and so went out and hunted him down and tricked him into producing it.
He seems like an ideal choice of partner, I mean, to my ears, because he obviously has been a fan of your music through the years. It seems reflected in what he did with
BLO. Fan of his, and also was similar, you know, in as much as he's a songwriter, guitar player, singer. So we got on great.
A friend of mine said, oh, I saw the George Harrison video. And I said, which one? And he said, oh, the one with the Wonderwall in it.
Yeah.
And I had to laugh. I don't know how many people have seen this particular album in recent years. But were they thinking Wonderwall at all when they...
No, they did. Well, I don't think so. I think they would just had the idea that it should be as if it's out of doors. The Low is actually in the studio, but they built a street, you know, they came along and paved the street and painted the double yellow lines, and so it looked like I was out of doors, basically, so they could have action going backwards and forwards in front.
And the classic Laurel and Hardy take with Ringo carrying the synthesizer.
That's good.
It's great.
On both ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so cute, our Ringo.
I was amazed listening to the Beatles on CD. It's like it brought back a lot of memories to me, obviously, but also some of the technological things you could just perceive a little bit more. And on Sgt. Pepper, there's so many things that are either hard left or hard right if you're listening with headphones, for example.
Yeah, pretty strange. And there's that tambourine. It sounds like an old garbage can lid. Are they laughing at us?
Yeah, they're enjoying it.
And it sort of keeps coming out the right speaker. You know, there's a clatter, 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 clatter. I don't know where that came from.
Because it would be the last thing added on, therefore...
I don't know. Don't know how it got there. Yeah. Maybe it's on the original mix.
From Toronto, Harrison flew to Los Angeles, California on April 4th. The next day, George met with the marketing executives at Warner Brothers regarding their desire to have a different song added to a 12-inch single for the track This Is Love, targeting the German Euro market.
George Harrison.
I was asked by the Nye Record Company to give them an extra song to put on a 12-inch extended single for Germany and Great Britain. which I didn't have any extra tunes recorded at the time, so I just thought, well, I'll go in tomorrow, go in a studio someplace, and I just write one and do it then. It's only a seaside, like a... so,
a seaside.
You want this extra song.
So that night I had dinner with Jeff Lynne, who was having dinner with Roy Orbison. We all had dinner together. And I said, well, tomorrow I'm going to go find a studio and go in someplace, make up a tune and make this record. So I said to Jeff, do you want to come and help? And he said, yeah, okay, but the problem is, you know, where are we going to find a studio and an engineer so quickly? So Roy Orbison was there, and he said, oh, well, if you do something, call me. I'd like to come along and watch. So then I thought, well, Bob Dylan had a little studio in his garage. So I called him and said, do you mind if we come along tomorrow? He said, no, come along, that's okay. And Tom Petty also, I had to go to his house to pick up my guitar, it was around his house. So he said, oh, good, I'll come. I was wondering what I was going to do tomorrow. So the next morning, I started to write a song, and I thought, well, if Roy Orbison's going to come, it's silly to have him sitting there. You know, he's a better singer than everybody. I'll write a little part for Roy to sing. And Jeff thought that was a bit cheeky, you know. Anyway,
Jeff and I sat in the garden,
finished the song off, music to it. We didn't write the words at that point. And then we wrote the lyrics. I got the first line, just said, being beat up, battered round, and then...
We were all out in the grass, and, you know, and Jeff would say, well, how about this? And then, so the words just started to come. We were all sitting there throwing in words, and it was so easy.
Wham, they just kept coming with all these lines. And there was Bob saying, oh, what's it called? What's it about? To try and think of what the song lyric would be, we need a title or some idea. And I saw a box in the garage of Dylan's house. It said, Handle with Kerr. So we wrote the lyrics around that. And as I had the part for Roy, then I thought, well, I might as well get Bob and Tom and Jeff, everybody singing the middle part.
I went in... put it down and mixed it. We did it all, it was all written and done in one day.
Your body next to mine and dream. sent to meetings hypnotized, overexposed, commercialized, and only with care. I'm so tired of being lonely. I still have some love to give. Won't you show me that you really care? Everybody got somebody to lean on. Put your body next to mine and dream on. I've been uptight and made a mess, but I'll clean it up myself, I guess. Oh, the sweet smell of success. And
and I finally saw behind his door this big box with a sticker on it saying Handle With Care. I said, Handle With Care? He said, oh yeah, good. I took it to the record company and they said, oh, it's too good to just give to Europe on a extended play because it's not going to sell Cloud Nine record, it's not on the album. And they didn't want it to be imported to America and for it to have no value. So I just kept the tape in my pocket, I kept playing it.
Although Handle With Care was rejected as a B-side to the upcoming release of the song This Is Love, the record company went with the tracks Breath Away From Heaven, along with two songs from the LP Somewhere in England, All Those Years Ago, and Hong Kong Blues. In America, on May 2nd, Dark Horse Records released the single This Is Love by George Harrison.
Change you forever.
single reached number 20 on Billboard's Adult Contemporary chart. On May 9th at Hog Hill Mill Studio in Sussex, Paul McCartney invited country singer Johnny Cash to record. Since Johnny was on tour in the UK, he came by with June Carter Cash to record the song that Paul wrote last summer at Cash's retreat in Jamaica.
Paul McCartney.
One of my favorite places to go on holiday is Jamaica in the Caribbean. And someone who feels the same as I do is Johnny Cash. In fact, he's got a house over there. And we sometimes will meet him over there. And we went over for dinner with him one night and his lovely wife and family. There was a new moon coming up that night. And I decided to try and write a little bit of a song that would capture the feeling.
Reggae Magic Sound Jamaica, version from creation. All right, right among. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and a new year can't hear you see. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and I'm living with a memory. So don't you come back.
Don't you come back. Hey, Ollie man. One, two, a one, two, reggae beat.
There's a new moon over Jamaica, and a new year got here, you see. A new moon over Jamaica, and I'm living with a memory. So won't you come back to Jamaica? You know it isn't so far. Look up in the sky where you left me that night. I'll be standing right under that star. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and a new year got here, you see. A new moon over Jamaica, and I'm living with a memory. I said good evening to Venus, she said good evening too. Look up in the sky where you left me that night. I'll be standing right under that star. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and a new year got here, you see. A new moon over Jamaica, and I'm living with a memory.
Paul and Johnny both agreed to make it more of a country song to be included on Johnny's next album. According to Paul in an interview for Music Radar, McCartney played Johnny a recording of Paul's song Man We Was Lonely and said he envisioned the song like that. With Paul on bass and sharing vocals with Johnny Cash, Amos Stewart on guitar, Chris Winton on drums, Linda, June Carter, and Tom T. Hall on backing vocals, the track was complete.
There's a new moon over Jamaica, and a new year just got here, you see. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and I'm living with an old memory. So won't you come back to Jamaica? You know it isn't so far. Look up in the sky where you left me that night. I'll be standing right under that star. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and a new year just got here, you see. There's a new moon over
and I'm living with an old memory. I said good evening to Venus. She said good evening to out there somewhere. You know I could swear she sent a message of true love from you. There's the new moon over Jamaica, and the new year has got here to see. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and I'm living with a new moon. Make someone feel happy. A new moon makes someone lovesick. I'm thinking of you, but what can I do? New moons and new years and old loves don't mix. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and a new year just got here, you see. There's a new moon over Jamaica, and I'm living with an old memory. Just a new year, a new moon and me.
Coming up in a moment,
George begins traveling.
So we just said, well, let's do it. We'll just write a tune a day and do it that way. It was very exciting.
Lennon's creativity is challenged.
Albert Goldman.
I think he always was playing around with writing songs, but as I explained in the book, he felt that he had tunes in his head, but he didn't have any words that were worthy of the tunes.
Paul continues to record. And starstruck at Friar Park.
Olivia said, hello. Then George said to me, you're Wayne Kaminsky from Hazel? Then Olivia said to George, no, these are the Kaminskys from Hazlitt, New Jersey. George said to me, Hazlitt? Where's that? Then I said, it's down in South Jersey.
We were on cloud nine after that. No pun intended.
And that's it, really. End of story.
Next on Yesterday and Today.
For more information or to contact the show, visit yesterdayandtodaypodcast.wordpress.com or email at yesterdayandtodaypodcast@gmail.com. Also visit at yesterdaypod on Twitter and search Yesterday and Today Podcast on Facebook. See you next time.
I'm Paul Kaminsky.
I'm James Kaminsky.
And I'm Wayne Kaminsky.
And we bring you the Kaminsky family of podcasts, Yesterday and Today, and the Third Men podcast.
You might know me from one of those dumb voices I do, or my dad from his better show than ours.
Wow.
And we're here to tell you about some cool merchandise you can pick up for the shows. As we mention in each episode, we do not in any way profit from these shows whatsoever, but to break even on some expenses, we have put up some cool merch that you can pick up to help support the show.
Yes, some fun apparel, things you can put on yourself.
Are we going to be selling Marks and Spence underwear?
Don't worry, we will.
You can head to our social media pages. That's facebook.com/yesterdayandtodaypodcast or facebook.com/thirdmen. Or you could head to society6.com/Kaminsky Family Podcast. That's society, the number 6, facebook.com/KAMINSKI Family Podcasts.
Yeah, keep our lights on. I'm in the dark.
Dad, any words of wisdom?
Hello? The lights just went out.
Guys, we need your help. Buy stuff. Perhaps a coffee mug that you can enjoy a beverage out of while listening to our shows.
And if you haven't got yours, please send forth in and get a free one.
All right. Thank you, Dad. All right, we'll see you on the podcast, folks.
Bye.
It's audio. You can't see me.